Today I want to introduce a new mini-series. I like to do series so that we can cut the services shorter, but not lose the word. So I just pick up. So you're always going to hear mini-series. But this one is called Begotten. And this is about the advent of the Lord. We are in the season of Advent, right? This is Christmas. Advent meaning the coming forth. And in this case, it's the coming forth of the Messiah. So we're going to celebrate it throughout the month. And I am not exaggerating when I tell you, I posted something on Facebook and I wasn't joking and I wasn't trying to be funny. I said, I went to the well and the well was dry. And then I went to the Lord and I found out it wasn't that the well was dry, it was that I was dry. And so I prayed. With everything that's going on with the school and the church and my home and my family, the word started getting neglected in my study time. And the Lord let me know that. This well will never dry. The person as dry as you. And I take long prayer walks, and the word of God for the whole month began to come into my soul, to my heart. I couldn't wait to get home. And I'm taking the walk, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and I got my dog, and he's blind, so he's bumping into stuff because I'm so into speaking to the Lord. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And I got to take better care of him. But I couldn't wait to get back to my house to open up the scriptures and pull these things that the Lord was putting in my heart to speak on. And so what came out of this is begotten. Begotten. Part one of this series is just simply called Logos, or the Word. And I'm going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Then I'm going to pray. Then we're going to go. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Let's pray. Lord, we need your touch. We need your help. Open up the scriptures to us. Help the speaker, Father, for I am needy, and without you, I can do nothing. And any word that comes forth, if it's going to have life-producing power, must come from you, Lord, not me. So I'm asking for your help. Touch all in earshot of this word. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
In the beginning was what?
The Word.
In the beginning was the Word. John the Apostle is making a reference to Moses the prophet. Mm-hmm. We are in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, when you read Genesis, the introduction to the whole book of Genesis is found in Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Genesis chapter 2 verse 3, which gives us the problem, but we're not going to get into that right now. But when you hear me say the introduction of Genesis, I'm talking, or if I say in Genesis 1, I mean all the way to 2, 3. And in this introduction, it is very clear that nothing existed except God. In the beginning, when things are going to start, God created. So nothing else is in existence. Nothing. Nothing. There is no darkness and there is no light. Nothing is in existence. God begins to create all things from nothing. So when he begins to create, he is now introducing space, time, every creature. And when I say creature in creation, I mean everything created. We think of creature from a human language, the creature from the Black Lagoon. God doesn't see creature that way. God sees creature in theological language as anything created. That means the sun is a creature. The universe is a creature. Water is a creature. A tree is a creature. Animals are creatures. Human beings are creatures. Angels are creatures. Anything created by God is a creature. Amen? So God creates all material matter. Anything that you can touch and see. But he also created all things non-matter, spiritual. And how did he do this? Through his word. Through his word. Now, the Greek term for word, if you look in your Bible, it should be capitalized. Is it capitalized? That's because it's referring to a person. When we say, you know, the Lord, or the Lord spoke to us through Pastor Louis, he brought a word. His word was in season. You know that as me breathing out syllables, code words that make sense to us that we can interpret. But that's not the case with God. We confuse these things because all we have is human reference points. So this kind of stuff that John is writing confuses us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it speaks of this word, this spiritual person, who's called God. And it says he took on flesh. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This, what you get right here in John chapter 1, verse 14, is what we call Christmas. When the word took on a form through the miracle of birth. When I was a Roman Catholic, we called that the Immaculate Conception. Meaning this didn't happen because of a man and a woman's decision to have children and then to become intimate for the sake of procreation, which is a godly thing in Christ. That's not what happened with Jesus. Mary and Joseph never touched each other. This was a miracle. When the Word took on a human body, he did so through the vulnerability of a birth where his mother gave birth, but the child was placed into the womb. The seed was placed into the womb. And human blood never touched him. The blood of Adam that would have caused him instant death never touched him. Now we know that this Word was made flesh, and we call that Word Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
We good?
Amen.
So you said you're good. So what you just said you're good about is that when God said, let there be light, mm-hmm. it wasn't a verbal word that formed anything. It was a covenant partnership between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which had roles of creation, and the Son is called the Logos, the Word of God. When you say we're good, you're saying Jesus Christ is the Creator. When you say you're good, you're saying whatever form Jesus took or had in existence in all eternity, he now chose to manifest on the earth. The same Christ in creation. So we're going to change the words and bring it to its Greek meaning in the next verse. In the beginning was the Christ. And the Christ was with God. And the Christ was God. He, the Christ, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, the Christ. And without him, the Christ, was not anything made that was made. How do you like that? Now this is theology. This is theology. This is the part of theology that we don't share with people because we think pastors are supposed to do that. No, you're supposed to have a clear understanding that the Logos in the very beginning was the Son of the living God. Therefore, you're not changing Scripture. You're giving definition to Scripture through interpretation. You with me?
Amen.
See, that text says that all things were made through him. That means all things that are mentioned in Genesis 1. Now, Paul adds something interesting. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. See, we're so used to this baby Jesus. We're so used to the Jesus of the cross. And all of that is true. But let me tell you something. When you walk outside with your girlfriend or your buddy, and you say, man, look at that sky. Man, that is awesome. Let me tell you something else that you don't mention. It's being held together by Christ. All that beauty is being held together by our Lord. By the word of his power. I want you to, excuse me, stop and think about the text that Paul just said. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. See, he's before all things. That means before anything that Genesis 1 records that was made or created. He, Jesus Christ, was already on the scene. He has no beginning and he has no end. One of his names is, oh my goodness, the Ancient of Days. That's one of his names, the Ancient of Days. I want to back up two verses because we just read Colossians 1:17. Let's look at verse 15. He, meaning the Christ, is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of all creation. Now that's a problem right there. That's a problem. That's a problem. If we look at it from human terminology and not from a theological language, and I'm going to show you in a minute. You with me? Amen. I don't want to lose nobody. Okay. He's the firstborn of all creation. For by him, meaning Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. How do you think the demons knew who he was? I know you. What do you want with us? You ain't just some carpenter's son. You're the Christ. We know you. You formed us. We know you. What do you want with us? Are you going to torture us? All of those texts are important to understand who we're dealing with. Although there's a hypostatic union, fully God and fully man, he never lost deity, ever. Don't ever let anybody tell you differently because they interpret that he poured out his glory and all that. And they're just taking it all out of context and they're not preaching it right. We want the whole word. You want good hermeneutics? Then you better know that text, that paragraph, that chapter, and that book. Those of us that are lazy and we just read a passage and we try to bring our human understanding and we say, how come I don't get it? You don't get it because you're not studying right. You study the passage, then you put it in the context of its paragraph, then you look at what the chapter is talking about, and then put it within the book. And you go, oh man, this is heavy stuff. That's how we do hermeneutics. He created everything. Now the term firstborn of all creation is not referring to the fact that Jesus was born of a woman. Because that would mean that was his beginning. And we have a problem with that theologically because we already came to the conclusion that he was there even before anything was created. So we need to straighten this one out. He wasn't the first being that was created. Some theologians inaccurately give it that definition. That's how they interpret the text. Some of your Jehovah's Witnesses bump into that, and that becomes a whole theological discussion on the fact that Jesus can't be God. All right? How could it be that Jesus is the firstborn when the text says that he's the creator of all things? Verse 16 says, for by him all things were created. The term, the theological term for firstborn actually means of first importance. Of first rank. I'm going to give you a biblical example because, again, when we do good hermeneutics, Scripture defines Scripture. You have to find reference points on the object that you're looking at and the topic that you're looking at and see how it coincides with theological language. Then we're a little bit more in a place of understanding. So we have to take the scriptures and the terminology and put it on other situations to see just how this takes place. Everybody knows who Jesse is, right? In the Bible, in the Old Testament, Jesse was the father of David. Jesse was the father of David. Now, was David Jesse's firstborn? No, don't you remember when Samuel went to anoint him? God told him, go and anoint the one that I tell you. Six boys went by, and he kept saying, he's dark, muscular, tall. This is definitely the one. That was the prophet. God said, no, pass him by. Huh? The other one, well, he's dark too. Handsome. Man, he got a good definition. Surely he's the one. Nope, let him pass. Jesse brought six of his sons. He said, that's it? Because the Lord hasn't chosen any of them. Well, no, I got another little peep squeak in the field. He's our gopher boy. He's my son, but he's a little peep squeak. Bring him here. And the Lord said, that's the one. So was he the firstborn? All right. Okay, I said all that for that. You go to 1 Chronicles when you get home, chapter 2. And it's going to give you the birth order of the sons of Jesse. He fathered Eliab, firstborn. Abinadab, second. Shimea, third. I don't know this because I'm an encyclopedia. It's in the Word. I just had to find a reference, and I went to 1 Chronicles. Nathanael, 4th. Redai, 5th. Ozim, 6th. David, 7th. So David was not born first of all of Jesse's sons. He was the 7th. Yet, Psalm 89, verse 27, says, I will make him the firstborn. The highest of the kings of the earth. See, firstborn refers to being of primary rank and of importance. You with me? When you read something like that about Jesus and somebody tries to flip you, say, whoa, 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 your language is good. Your interpretation is perfect for English and human, but this is theology. You got to show me that in the scriptures. Because everything else contradicts that. That he was not born. What does it mean, the firstborn? When we refer to Jesus Christ, firstborn of all creation means prior to all creation. He is not a created being. He is the eternal Son of the living God. Let me move on. In Colossians 1:15, we read earlier, Paul used the word image to make this fact clear. So let me put verse 15 back up there. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. It's saying that Jesus is an exact representation and an exact revelation of the Father in heaven. This is why the writer, whoever the writer was of Hebrews, nobody knows who wrote Hebrews, but whoever it was that wrote it, he wrote in chapter 1, verse 3, he's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's pretty deep. We can go home. You see, everything that people saw in Jesus Christ was exactly what the nature of God, the Father, is all about. Everything. All of the attributes of Jesus Christ, all of the wisdom of Christ, and all of the passion of our Lord. Even the love. Every other manifestation of his person is exactly that of the Father. That's why Jesus told his disciples, I don't know if you remember, Philip wanted, show us the Father, man. You keep talking about the Father. You can't show us the Father? What did Jesus say? John chapter 14, verse 9. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's not saying, when he says, I and the Father are one, that's not saying that sometimes he's the Father and sometimes, like the Unitarians say, like some preachers that we love and you don't even realize that this is the way they're coming from. They are not Trinitarian. They don't believe the way we believe. We serve a different God. Our God is not split in three. That sometimes he acts like the Spirit and then over here he acts like the Son. That's nonsense. The Son had to return to the Father with his blood. God is not schizophrenic. Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And then he asked this question. How can you say, show us the Father? That was a slap in the face. You see, in his essence, God is invisible. We think God, because of the scripture says, the hand of the Lord and the eyes of God. God doesn't have eyes. He don't have a nose. He don't have hands. God is spirit. He does that for our sake so that we can understand. And we just get all confused. So in his essence, he's invisible. But Jesus has revealed him to us. Earlier in that text, in John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Look at that carefully. No one has ever seen God. Now that's the Father. The only God, that's the Son, who is at the Father's side. See, if you slow it down, you see it? All you got to do is slow it down. Just slow it down. Stop reading so fast. Just slow it down. Look, no one has ever seen God. The only God who's at the Father's side, he has made him known. Oh, boy. This is some good theology. You know, when hurricanes come through Florida, mostly from Africa, from that coast, What you see with hurricanes when you get in your boarded windows and go get water. And don't forget the toilet paper, because you know with COVID they take it all. You don't want a hurricane and now the whole stores are down for 2 weeks and you ain't got no toilet paper. That's a trip. Now I see Vicky gonna be in there cutting my t-shirts up. So we see these hurricanes come through Florida. And we see God's power and his existence and his wisdom like tornadoes. The other morning, my thing went off, man. It wasn't time to get up yet. Come on, I need my sleep, Lord. Beep, 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 my phone. Tornado watch. Looking for tornadoes going to take me and kill me. Let it be in my sleep. Don't be waking me up. I want to die in my sleep. God, haven't you heard me say that? But we see the tornadoes, they pass through, they devastate everything in the path. Everything that it touches, it destroys. You see, nature can reveal the power of God, but it can never reveal the essence of God, ever. Only in Christ can the invisible God be revealed perfectly. Only in Christ. No created being can ever reveal our God. Ever. Nothing can compare to him. Therefore, Christ must be God himself. God, the only God who's at the Father's side. It must be God revealing God. You with me? I hope I'm not going over anybody's head, man. When it says in the beginning was the Word, then we must conclude that the Word of Genesis chapter 1 is not a spoken word, but a person that was in cooperation and partnership with the Godhead to create everything that exists. And we see the Godhead at work with the creation of man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us. Why would somebody that's both Father and Son and Spirit say, let us? He would say, I shall make man in my image. He didn't say that. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Look in your lexicon when you get home. That is plural. That Hebrew word. We're heading into the season of Advent. It's very key that we understand that the culmination of Advent, this coming, is the birth of Jesus Christ. He was prophesied as to the one that was coming. He is the Logos. He's the Word of God. And although he is definitely before anything that was ever created by God, he himself is the creator. He came to the world that he created in order to reconnect us to God. Humanity has a problem. We're so long without God that anything about God or his revelation or his Bible, you do your thing, I got mine. Don't be pushing me. And we just don't understand. Dude, this life is short. He's reconciling us and you're rejecting your creator. That's scary to me, man. He came to this world to reconnect us with God. There are witnesses who testify of having seen him and heard him and have touched him. Why? Because the Logos became a human being. I close with 1 John. I started with John chapter 1. I close with 1 John chapter 1. 4 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We must locate our one to fulfill our joy. Advent, Christmas, is not about anything other than the Logos. And we have a mission field out there. I told my students the other day, Christmas is not about presents, it's about presence. And I'm telling my church the same thing. We give gifts as a message to say, look at the greater gift that was given to us. The Advent that we're celebrating on December 25th, this was already spoken of in times past. Moses writes that God said, let there be. And there was. We confuse that conversation with God speaking into existence all things. But the truth is, if there was a conversation, it was between the Godhead, and it was immediately the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which begun their work, each within their own role. Christmas is the celebration of the living God who would come to restore order from disorder, incorruption from corruption, and forgiveness and pardon from death. This is the gospel. Today was the word. Next week, we will get into the predictions. Amen?